Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic View. The Psychic View. On PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. With your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Halloran, and you are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com and simulcasting live on PTN Radio at PeoplesTVNetwork.com. This evening is all about the magic of dolphins, and our special guest is Ilona Selke, and will be joining us soon from her home in Bali, which is really cool. It is my pleasure to welcome two guest co-host, and one is Rez Miranda. Hi, Rez. How are you tonight?
I'm fabulous. Thanks so much for having me.
We love having you. And would you please enlighten us with your background?
Why, yes. I am an online psychic, of course. I do most of my work at PsychicAccess.com, and my specialties involve relationships, and I love helping you plan your destiny. But I've been a psychic for almost 20 years now, online for about 12.
I think that's lovely. And you are lovely, too. And also, again, it's my pleasure to welcome our guest co-host, Nancy Galway. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hi, Maureen. I'm so happy to be here tonight.
We love having you here, joining us again tonight. So would you tell us about what you do?
Well, I read on PsychicAccess.com, as everybody else does here tonight, and I really enjoy that. And I'm an empath and an intuitive, and I use tarot as my main tool of choice. And I get guidance from my angels, and that's what I do.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
I like what you do.
Thank you.
And hello, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And would you please tell us about your story, your background?
My story? Yeah. I'm a psychic, and I'm a natural psychic, so I don't really use any tools, but I seem to see pictures and hear things from spirit. And I also do readings on Psychic Access. I'm really feel happy to do that. So thank you.
And that's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is a good feeling.
And well, of course, I also work with these lovely women and a lot of other women and men at PsychicAccess.com, and I do dishes, I vacuum. No, I'm an intuitive, and I've been doing my work forever, 20-something odd years, and I focus on making the best life that we could possibly have and all of us being happy and collectively thriving on. So I do enjoy working with everybody at the co-host here, and also everybody, really great people. So anyway, Ilona Selke is an international author, a seminar leader, a lecturer, and a musician. She has inspired thousands of people to co-create reality, to discover the power of a spiritual mind in a practical way, and to live and manifest in their dreams. She has appeared on TV and on radio and has been quoted in many books for the contribution of her inspirational work. Since 1991, Ilona Selke and her husband Don Paris have studied the lives of dolphins in their natural habitats throughout the world. Through their natural skills, dolphins exchange telepathic messages with that form the basis for her book, Wisdom of the Dolphins, and her third book, Dolphins, Love, and Destiny. Both books tell us about inspiring adventures about dolphins and their key message to humanity, using our imagination to build a better world. I really encourage you to visit her website. It's just remarkable. And it's at www.ilonaselke.com. It's very informative. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen or your pencil and a paper ready. Okay, so if you were unable to catch our show on Spirit Communication, hosted by Steve last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as all of our archives on from previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives link and future shows details to your friends and families and your neighbors, everyone. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others because we have some really good shows here, and I think everybody would get something from them, everybody. So I would like to welcome to the show Ilona. Hi.
Hi there. Hi.
There you are. Hi. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. It's such an honor to have you join us tonight, really. And it's early Friday morning for you right now, so top of the morning to you.
Yes. I'm on the other side of the planet in Bali.
I know. I said welcome and good evening. But you know, our evening, your morning, it all kind of fuses together. So, you know, I wanted to share something that I thought was really neat and before we get talking. But Ilona Selge's first name means radiant, and her family's name can be traced to the Celtic myths about Selkies, yeah, sea-dwelling mammals, usually a seal, but sometimes a dolphin, capable of shape-shifting into a human. Now, I think that's so cool about your name. Go figure.
And you know what? Just when I wrote that second book, Wisdom of the Dolphins, and I was about to have it published, I thought of changing my name, and a friend, a psychologist, called me up and said, you know what, did you ever know? I mean, he didn't know I wanted to change my name. I thought to an easier, memorable name like Paris, my husband's name. You know, we'd kept our own names because of being artists, and so I thought Selkie is, you know, a little hard to remember. Paris is much easier. And this guy calls me, like, within the week that I was going to make a change, and he said, did you know the deep meaning of your name? Go watch the movie The Secret of Rowan Einish. And that's about how these sea-dwelling mammals come on land, become humans, interact, and they have the capacity of telepathic communication with dolphins and sea-dwelling mammals. So then go figure. I write about it, right?
So I didn't change
my name.
You know, there you have it. There's a reason. Or not a reason, but it is what it is.
Actually,
your name.
Yeah,
I'm glad you didn't change it.
the Australian Aborigines say that you are your name. And, you know, yeah. Anyways, I can agree to that.
So we got the real deal here, as far as I'm concerned. You're the one. You know,
it was meant to be, right?
Yeah. I wanted to, what inspired you to do research on dolphins? What was your inspiration?
Well, originally, honestly, truthfully, it was a rather tragic event. I mean, tragic, which a lot of people might even find exciting at first if they don't know what's behind the scene. Don, my husband and I went to SeaWorld down in San Diego. I think it's where you are from, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Anyhow, we went to SeaWorld there, and we went to see a show on dolphins, and orca whales were performing, and I just sat in the bleachers and I cried and I couldn't handle the feeling of captivating these incredible creatures. You know what? I mean, it was amazing watching them. I felt like there was this super intelligent being that was actually communicating something above my comprehension level. And this orca whale, in that case, was made to jump through hoops. And I felt like it was so degrading for us humans to do that to this intelligent creature. I mean, if I were being captured on an alien planet to jump through hoops because I could figure out what they wanted from me to get food, because that's all that was left, you know, I was caged in, you know, it would be, I would just pray that somebody on that alien planet had the smarts to consider, you know, the intelligence of a human, of human rights, right? So when I watched these dolphins and the whale, the orca, I cried and cried and cried, and I said, okay, from now on, I will only do research in the wild and find out what they're really made of and what they're capable of. So it was a sad beginning, but very motivating.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you and I spoke. We had a great conversation earlier this week, and thank you. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. And you asked me a question about if I had ever swam with the dolphins. And I was really oblivious, and it was, I mean, I was oblivious or ignorant, whatever you want to call it. And I said, yeah, sure I have. But it didn't dawn on me that nowadays, well, they do have these, you know, amusement parks or Sea Worlds or all over the place, and what you're saying, and it didn't dawn on me because I've never been, when I go to Sea World, I never do sit and watch those things going on. I do something else. I don't know what else eat, but I was telling you how I had, but when I was younger, I used to go to Catalina. My dad was a sailboat racer, or whatever. We'd take the boat over there, and you know, there'd be a mooring, and they'd stick the boat would just be out there, and we'd jump in, and the dolphins would just kind of come up around us. We weren't really swimming; they just we didn't expect anything from them or think about them. But that's what when I and then I dawned on me. You asked me if I ever swam. Probably like what you're talking about. Some people go. I know there. I did more research. I know there's a lot of places where, and then I start thinking what you're talking about. It broke my heart too. Because you said something to me, and you said this, and I told you you could definitely say something about, you know, what if it was my daughter, you know, my daughter.
Would you volunteer your own daughter to an alien planet petting zoo because the aliens needed touch, and they had forgotten how to give love, and humans could still do it, and would you volunteer your daughter? No. Besides that, they would come and grab your daughter. You know, imagine this. You know, you've heard, do you know the movie The Cove?
Yes.
And then Cove, C-O-V-E. Do you know who's spearheading that? That's actually the trainer of Flipper. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
The dolphin, Flipper, the dolphin?
Yes, yes.
And the trainer that trained Flipper, Flipper actually was five different dolphins, Rick O'Berry has spearheaded the work out in Japan to keep the dolphins from being slaughtered. And the movie, The Cove, is his uncovering of that information. You can Google it. It's real easy, The Cove. And it shows you they're catching dolphins in that horrid situation to drag them away from their mothers, from their family, to capture them, to drag them to swimming pools or to shows, places abroad, because it's actually illegal to capture them in the U.S., so we capture them abroad, and then they get smuggled in. And so the movie gives you the background as to how partially just, you know, how they simply kill the dolphins, and now they have proven that dolphin meat that they eat and whale meat is so toxic and full of mercury that it's actually horribly bad for the company to sell the meat. So now they, in Japan, are promoting the idea that dolphin meat is too toxic along with fish, but they won't mention that. But the movie also shows that capturing dolphins for these swim with programs is a brutal business. It's a multi-million dollar business. The dolphins are super expensive. And if you see that, and then you ask yourself, would you volunteer your own child, your own family member, your own husband, wife, or whoever you love to be torn away from you, to be used on an alien planet in a petting zoo because they had forgotten how to pet, or you had some human quality that they needed to live? Would you endorse that? Would you give your daughter away? And you said?
No. And also, you know, they're so when we were talking, I didn't realize they're so, the dolphins are so family. They're all about family.
Yeah.
The aunts, uncles you're telling me about, you know, they're what we should be doing in our families. And
you
just broke my heart.
Yeah, and so we wouldn't volunteer our own family member, our own dearest family members to an alien petting zoo, nor would we want to do that to another creature that actually has a larger brain, like Flipper, has 1,600 grams of brain. Humans have 1,200 grams of brain. Now, what do you do with that massive amount of brain, you know? And the dolphins have developed an incredible amount of social skills. They train each other. They are very, I mean, it's so cute to see the babies underwater. You know, they don't know anything. If they come swimming up to you because they don't know any danger, the mom will whistle, you know, and say, come on back to mommy's side. And then the mom will check you out. And once the mom decides you're a safe person to swim with, she'll let the baby on the other side of her between you and the baby. But it's always on their terms. And
it's just like humans. Just like humans.
Yes. And, I mean, all animals would, of course, protect their little, but they wouldn't say, okay, unless they're domesticated. Cats would, you know, maybe let you touch their babies. But unless, if they're wild, like a wild animal, wild lion, they wouldn't, like, say, okay, let me check this human out. Okay, they're safe. Okay, now. I just did it. You know, I swam with a mom, and she would not, she would put the baby always on the other side. And then she swam with me for, I mean, over a couple hours, several times. And then eventually, I just imagined, put the baby between you and me. So the baby is between us. And she would, at that point, then she moved the baby over and let the baby swim next to me. And that was you know, because that means they can evaluate us. They can say we're safe. They can decide whether or not, they can reason. They can make a guess within, without being accustomed to a human, they can make that choice rather than a domesticated animal of whom you could expect that, right?
Right, exactly. Well, you were telling me some stories. Well, you know, I want to bring up a good point, because after we spoke to about the SeaWorld incident, you know, I am really going to take a stand on these places, because, you know, I started thinking when you brought to my attention, well, they feed them, they're nice to them, but no, it is not right. It is not right, everybody. It's not right. No. So, you know, I was oblivious to that. And I felt, well, they're being treated right. And in my head, it wasn't, but until we talked. So I think that, you know, there are types of abuse, the other types of abuse from humans for their own gain to get access to dolphins. And what else are they doing this to gain access? I mean, they're for entertainment purposes, right. And for what else are they using them? You know,
shows, yeah.
I mean, you were telling me they were being shot. You were talking about Costa Rica. They were shooting them because they're eating fish or something.
Right. I mean, you know, let's catch up a little bit. The humans want to get benefits. Entertainment is one. Then second one is healing. So a lot of dolphins have been used in dolphin encounter, dolphin therapy sessions. And you must imagine now, most of the time a dolphin is captured in a tank, separated from the males and females. I mean, out in reality, they're super sexual. They love being sexual together. They are the only species that will have sex outside of mating, the heat time. So they will make love whenever they feel like it. That's usually at least, if not several times a day.
Uh-oh.
As a group, they're not monogamous.
Are we losing yet? Are we losing? Oh, no.
No, I still hear you.
There, good. There you go.
I can hear you.
Great. Okay, great.
So they make love whether or not they're in heat. So that's the only species we know of that will choose to make love. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly now.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So then when they are in an encampment, when they're captured in a concrete pool, they can't use their sonar like they used to because it hurts sending out the echolocation to a concrete wall. They're captured. They like to run. They're very strong. They're all muscle. They are so fast. And here in a captive pool, they can't run anywhere. They get depressed. So a lot of times when people go in, I once went to just take a group to watch people, to watch dolphins in a captive situation. And my entire group, who had been swimming with wild dolphins the week prior to that, got so depressed, they said, please do not take anybody ever, even just to pay the entry fee to a place like this. They begged me. They said, don't pay the money because you vote with your dollars. Don't take anybody there because it says we're interested. If you don't go there, they shut down. If all of us were to take solidarity with dolphins and make the effort to swim with them out in free water, in the on the coves, wherever they are, there are plenty of spaces to swim with them. All over the world, we don't have to support captive dolphins who are kept like, you know, worse than pets. And so anyways, when we went to see them, we experienced ourselves to become rather depressed. But then people say, well, they get better, they can feel where the pain is, they put the echolocation on the pain, autistic children seem to improve. And so I had a time. Are you still with me? I just hear a husk.
Yes, I'm still with you.
Okay.
I'm still with you.
Cool.
I know there's a little bit of background, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. So I had just to see if...
Ilona, are you
wild.
There?
Yeah, I'm there. I just...
Ilona,
see dolphin.
I lost you. I'm losing you a little bit, but that's okay.
No. Okay, I hear you.
Okay,
good. I'll just start up again.
Perfect.
Okay.
Now it's better,
so
yes.
Had,
sorry.
Okay. We had a German company from Cologne, Germany, donate money to take handicapped children out to the open ocean in Florida off of Key West. And we took them there for 2 years, several groups, different groups of children. And I remember numerous cases. One was a child, a girl, that had not been speaking in school. She had only shaken her head, yes or no. And the teachers advised me not to try and talk to her because she couldn't talk and couldn't comprehend. But I just figured, you know, the dolphins are going to do their magic. We did our guided imagery exercises with them. I remember we had a marine biologist on board, and he was against everything we did. And he said, oh, you with your quackery psychology, and he was really offensive. At any rate, at the end of the week, that little girl not only started talking, amazed her teachers, but she started hugging everybody, something she had never done before. She hugged all the adults, the teachers, all the people who were there to help all the children. We had one adult per child to take them out in the water in the wild, and then she hugged the children. There was another girl that had never dared to do anything on her own. She would always be with her adult person in a room. After she came back, we did a follow-up meeting, and that's when the grandmother and the mother came up to me and said, you know what? Our daughter has changed so much. She now goes into the kitchen by herself, makes her own bread. And that's Switzerland. This group was from Switzerland. And the girl now started taking horse riding lessons on her own, things she'd never dared to do before. She always needed someone holding her hand. And now she had become this independently strong being. And I could go on and on with all the children and all the adults that have come. You know, it's not a push button method. I have had a family that came with a son who had a loss of hearing, and they believed that the dolphin in the wild would fix that hearing problem. And I'm like going, please don't ask the impossible. You know, it will probably improve his self-esteem, but it's probably not going to fix the eardrum. And,
right.
You know, so people, you know what I'm, so what we did is we took children out into the wild and had phenomenal, hardcore changes. So it doesn't take captivity to experience that. Now, it's a little bit more challenging because they don't come on call, but we do know places. And if people wanted to know where to swim with dolphins, they can write me. Go to my website, ilonaselke.com. And then contact me through that, or Facebook, Ilona Selke. So that's one thing. So we don't need to volunteer our children to an alien petting zoo to help aliens. We can take
It's true. I'm glad you brought that to my attention, because I think more people, if they thought about it, yeah, they wouldn't. I know.
Right.
I will.
And so
we vote.
And you know who owns those? Who is? You know the money that's behind those places? It's like Bush and Sennheiser. It's a lot of conglomerates. And people who incidentally seem to oftentimes be involved in trying to suppress the laws or make laws so that humans are not allowed to swim with wild dolphins, calling it a harassment. So I agree. If people, humans, take fast boats out and chase the dolphins and don't live up to an etiquette of letting the dolphins come to us, like in Catalina, you just swam and the dolphins came to you, right?
Right. Yeah, that's how it was. It was just the way it was. Yes, exactly.
So dolphins,
and with no expectations. No expectations. We didn't. We didn't think about. Well, you know, come on over. they just were there.
Right.
And
so, yeah, exactly. So you don't need to chase dolphins. And I think if we go out in the wild and we're respectful that way, or the captains are trained to allow the dolphins to come or be in the vicinity thereof and allow the dolphins to swim to the humans. There is no harm in that. And it is, you know, I just find it is a lot more honoring to a species that I think has something to teach us humans.
Well, they do say that the dolphins are the humans in the sea. I mean, really.
The angels in the sea, right? Yeah, really, they are.
Yeah. You know, is it, and then they do, their brains are larger than ours, it says something else. But, you know, you told me some unbelievable stories about, well, it's about, you're talking about the projective, image projecting.
Right.
About how you did some image projecting and how they were able to, in telepathies, you know, type of things.
Yeah.
And could you share some of that, you know, whatever, you know, you can share different stories,
okay.
But you were talking to me.
Sure. Sure. Well, a story that right away as you came, you just said, the Greeks called the dolphins the angels of the sea because they oftentimes would lead a shipwrecked ship out to the sea when the ship didn't know its way around the waters. They've come to help humans. When I come on radio, people call me oftentimes with their own amazing stories. So one that stands out is there was this group of people that were out in the open ocean with dolphins around them. But there came a shark, and this one human was swimming in the water, and the dolphins circled that one human to keep the shark away. But one personal experience I had that was outstanding, which proved telepathy between humans and the dolphins, is when Don and I were swimming out in Hawaii outside of the island of Lanai, outside of Maui, in a cove. We'd swum out. It was quite a distance away. We'd been out there for about an hour, and I would swim and say, okay, I haven't seen any babies. Where are the babies, The next moment, all the moms with babies paraded right underneath of me. So I forgot the time.
Asking you shall receive, or they'll come. Maybe you have good intentions, too, though. They can pick up on that with intention.
Oh, yeah. They can read. Yeah, So we'll talk a bit about how to strengthen your telepathic mind in a minute. But I was out there for an hour, and then suddenly I hear this voice in my head that says, you've got to get out of the water now. You only have enough energy to make it back. And it was like, do it. And I stuck my head out of the water. Don stuck his head out of the water and another woman. And we all said, did you just hear that? We all had heard the same concept, get out now, except I had heard the additional part of, otherwise you won't make it. So we headed back. It was like maybe a 20-minute swim back from back to the shore. Halfway back, and that's after an hour of swimming out there with them. Halfway back, my right leg gave out and I couldn't paddle with it anymore. So I just had my left leg to paddle and, freaked out a little bit, but I paddled and paddled and came back to shore and, I had to crawl out of the ocean. And I'm thinking, how did they know? How could they have known? Now you tell me one single human who in a crowd sends mentally a message and says, you better go home now because you forgot your jacket and you're going to be freezing cold.
Yeah, right, That's true. Well, that's the thing. They did know. You're right about that. I understand what you're saying about it. It's going to, snow's going to blizzard down on you. Get your jacket.
Right.
I don't know anybody.
How could they know that my leg was going to give out in the future? How could they read my body strength? How could they know how much strength it would take me to get back to the shore? And then how did all of us hear it? And what kind of clarity must they have to produce a thought strong enough in a way that a human can get it, in a way that we can make sense out of it, and that we respond? If it had just been me, myself, who's, my own psychology, my own intuition says, look, Ilona, I am reminding you of your strength here. You just have to go back. Neither Don nor the other woman, and actually a third person that was swimming a bit further away, came back at the same time and said she had heard the same message. She came in, 5 to 10 minutes after us. And, if we all had not heard it, if only I had heard it, it would have been my own intuition. But it was all of us who heard a message from the dolphins. So they can read us, they know us, they can read our body strength, and they can talk to us. Now, it takes maybe a human that's practiced meditation for a while to pick up on a message like that. But that is, at least they can send messages and they can read us. Now, the other question is, can we send messages and get them to do something? And if I'm not being too holding too much of a monologue here, I'll keep going.
No, go. I want you to keep going like you are. Absolutely.
Well, the sending of information, I'll fill in with some personal stories. But there is a book out by Frank Robson that's called Dolphins, Pictures in a Dolphin Mind. And he was a dolphin trainer in the past and then switched, like Rick O'Berry, the trainer for Flipper, also switched. And both of them dedicated their lives to working with wild dolphins and supporting the freedom of dolphins. He trained the dolphins back then with just mental instructions. He would say, jump up, hit that red ball. And the dolphin would jump, hit the red ball. And he would not give him fish. He would not reward him like normally the dolphins are rewarded, because they kind of starve them, and unless they do something that they're supposed to do, they don't get food. So it's sort of a, you know, prison camp situation where unless you do what I want you to do, you don't get your food. Sorry. And this happens. I mean, the people, the trainers, a lot, different places are different. You know, not every place will be that harsh. But this guy did not use fish. He used love. He said, the dolphins respond to love. They just want your heart energy, and they will do whatever you want if you are in an honoring relationship. But, he said, there are dolphin trainers who simply think dolphins are dumb animals or just simply animals, not eventually possibly even higher evolved. And these people get a dumb dolphin reaction. You know, they're like, huh, you wanted what? So you get what you put out. You know, the universe gives you what you put out back. So
right.
Not only, you know, so the dolphins are really instantaneous in their feedback to us. So I tried that. I tried sending specific images. I said, for example, I mean, one, I said, okay, here's a white ball of light. I'm projecting it over there. Please swim through it. And they did. I moved it over to another area. Now, if you see that one, can you swim through that one? Dolphins swam through that one. One time, a more fun, humanly exciting story is I was off the boat and I saw them making love. And I said, oh, I would just love being in the middle of that. So I visualized that. I visualized being in the middle of the bundle, you know. And then I swam out. Lo and behold, if they don't want you to swim with them, they're like one kick of a tail flip and they're gone. But no, they let me come right in there. And I'm like going, I mean, it was wild. They jumped over each other and rolled around and rubbed on each other. And I mean, penises right there visually in front of my eyes. It was quite the show. And I'm like praying. I'm going, please, please. I'm not a dolphin. I'm not a dolphin. So, I, you know, but it's, they, you know, they know exactly where your limits are and who you are. And if, you know, they can read our distances better. I think I held still with my flippers. I just tried to move forward, not reach out, not touch any. And that's the law, you know, the ethic that we go by is don't touch them. If they rub on you, well, you know, that was their choice, but don't reach out and grab them, just like you wouldn't go to a market and grab somebody's breasts, you know.
Well, apparently some people do. I don't. But, no, I agree. That's like when I was swimming, like I told you, same thing. It was like we were thinking about, hey, come on over. They were just, it was just like a given. They just hanged around.
Right.
So,
and
so it was nice, you know.
Because we do. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned something to me. I was talking to my mother about this. I thought it was really neat. About the teenage girl. You told me the story about the teenage girl and she was kind of like, you know, a typical teenager kind of having an issue. She was there. And then what happened, the dolphins were able to pick up on her energy. And you told me the story about.
Yep. That was one of the handicapped children that we were taking out. So each one of us got to hold one child by the hand and we swam with them to make sure they're safe, you know. And they were all capable of swimming. They had practiced. So I was amazed. I mean, literally amazed at what different children produced in front of their nose. This one girl I had on my hand swam out, said, oh, there are dolphins, you know. And she swam and paddled, and I could barely keep up. She was, like, dragging me behind her. And so we came to this slightly deeper area, and there was this, you know, a whirlwind of water when it goes down in the bathtub, how it looks like, that spiral thing?
Yeah,
the dolphins
were
stacked underneath each other like that, and it was a cacophony of sounds. I have never, ever since then or before then heard that kind of interaction between. These were all juvenile dolphins. They were all mid-sized, you know, probably 7 years old, which would be putting them into their teenage years, and they were at each other, and they were using their teeth to rake each other's skins and tumble. They weren't hurting each other, they weren't going for blood, but they were rough and boisterous. And the girl was swimming right on top of that little circle of you know, spiral going down. And I'm like, I think this is too close, kiddo. What if they, you know, but they didn't bother us. They let us watch and they reflected probably to her what she experiences in school on the, in the schoolyard.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like reflecting her thoughts, expectations. You know, I had advised them before, the night before, to visualize exactly what they want to experience. So I've done that every time I go out. I visualize. It takes a bit of energy to grab your thoughts and your feeling, but you have to imagine. And this is truly true for all things in life. You pull in your energy and go, what would it feel like if I already had what I wanted? And you just imagine those dolphins, you know, either whichever way you want it. I did experiments like 2 years in a row where I said, I want 5 dolphins or 3 dolphins facing me and sonaring me from the front. Then another year I said, I want to do that again. Let's try that experiment. And did the same thing. As soon as you visualize what you want and you feel it, and it could be the house you want to buy, it could be the CD you want to manifest, it could be anything. It could be your emotional state and maturity you want to reach, the stability and peace you want in your life, the love you want. Visualize what you want as though it already is happening now. And it will become so. It will become so. You just have to really, you know, you have to wait for that feeling to go, yes, okay, I can pretend for a minute as though it's already there. You don't go out, you know, you go out and live your life and then do things that would help that to come about.
Yeah.
Most important thing is daily, every morning and night, make that at least a 2-minute exercise, if not 5 minutes. And things will manifest. Yes.
I wanted to, Res Miranda, she's one of our hosts here. You know, I told you there's billions of us.
Right.
There's 4 of us. Several. And she wanted to ask you a question.
Right.
Would you mind if she does? Rez, are you there?
I sure am.
Ilona, this is Rez Miranda, and she's like, she has a great question, I think. It'd be great. So, go for it, Rez.
Sharon, Ilona, thank you for taking my question. What an honor.
I'd love to. What is it?
Well, I was remembering that in the 60s, and I can remember that far back, yes, that the Navy used dolphins quite a bit for things like searching for mines and in various military intelligence projects. And I wonder if you know anything about that still happening or if they're still doing that.
Apparently they are. I just read on a website yesterday that the Navy is using ozone to purify the dolphin tanks, which alerted me to that's a pretty new method instead of using chlorine, which was hurting the dolphin's skins, and that's what is in most of those pools. But they were now using ozone, which, you know, I don't know in the last couple of years, but they have, you know, they did an interesting study with the dolphins. They trained the dolphins to inject a dummy, a pup, you know, a doll, a dummy, with a needle that had carbon dioxide in it or something, some kind of poison, an enemy diver, so to speak. And dolphins can identify by the look of the flags which ship is who and where an enemy diver would be, and they could identify the dummy and put the dummy and inject that needle into the dummy, and did the training, did perfect. During the training,
wow,
it worked perfect. Once they did that experiment,
that's so interesting that they would do that. That the dolphins would be trained to cooperate.
But that was a dummy. But that was a dummy.
Okay.
The interesting part of the story comes.
But they wouldn't do that in a a human.
Once they saw that a human died as a result of that action, they stopped doing that performance. So they started. The Navy started using seals instead of dolphins because the seals don't have that big of a brain, apparently. Or
oh, my
that
goodness.
Big of a
That's very interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. That's just so much about how much we have in common with them, or should have in common with them, perhaps.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe we should get, like, a little bit closer to that.
Yes, take the hint, human beings, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there a way that
we
can communicate their energy or communicate with them when we don't have access to them?
A lot of people write me because, you know, I do write in my books about long-distance telepathy and that you can actually visualize, and a lot of people dream of dolphins. You know, suddenly they dream of dolphins and they don't know why. They write me and I get, you know, after 20 some years of doing this research, I see that the people who start dreaming of dolphins and thinking and feeling attracted to dolphins are in some way drawn to a higher potential within their being human. Wow. Within their own humanness, they want to evolve, and that draws them to another being, such as a dolphin, that has that ability. And so we start maybe daydreaming about them. And so people have done experiments simply visualizing a dolphin coming to them and sonaring their body, giving sonar to their own system. Because actually, I believe when I'm in the water with them, and I've experienced the sonar, and our other people did too, that is when I experience the biggest change. That's when I think something shifts in our human body. People get super happy. When they get on board, they feel like we're one group. They help each other. They're kind to each other suddenly. And they start changing either whatever was wrong with them behaviorally or even physically. Even when people just imagine the sonar, they have been able to create healings. Now, it's hard to prove whether that's a dolphin doing that or if it's our projected mind that's using a higher tool, like imagining an angel or a master healing us, you know, whichever. But so you can slip into other beings' minds or be present with them even at a distance. That's the answer.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Well, I think we all need to take a road trip to the beach.
You come to my beach. They're out here.
Yay!
You know, Ilona, we need to take a short break. From a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com, and we'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
And we're back with Ilona Thelkes. And I am very happy to say that we are back because I wanted you to talk about, you know, I have a lot of things I would like to talk about, but one thing we talked about was the work of maybe I'm going off a little bit, and if I am, if you want to talk about this later, that's fine, but I thought, I went and checked out what you sent me, and I was appalled, of Dr. Estelle Myers.
Right, and she's a dolphin activist, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bali Captive Dolphins 2011, I saw the YouTube, and it broke my heart. Well, you know, I think it's real good if we can educate a little bit of people, like maybe what we can do if we want to get involved some way, somehow.
Sure. You could go to the Facebook link, Estelle Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S. We can actually put it on my guest page.
Okay.
Under my name, we can maybe put a link on various, like maybe what you can do, and then have a couple of links, you know, for activities.
Right.
She is in the process of trying to talk to the owner of Excelsior here in Bali, North Bali, Lovina, where they are keeping the dolphins captive. Two females separated from the one male, and you'll hear that on the video. No, they don't let the male go by because they would have sex all the time. They would not listen to the trainer. They would have sex. They would like to, you know, be together. Why do anything else? And they get aggressive in captivity because they are kept apart and from their natural habitat, from their natural expression of connectedness. And they get frustrated. They oftentimes just swim around listlessly, hanging in the pool. And you can see that in that video, right? I mean, they just...
Yeah, I saw that. It was just very disturbing. It just broke my heart.
Right. So she's calling on people to write to the hotel and say, free the dolphins and you know, we'll promote the hotel, you know, if you just go to that link and I'll put it up on your guest page, I'll send you guys the information. The Cove is another one to get involved with right now. Facebook is on Facebook, Rick O'Barian, through the Cove efforts. They're collecting 1.5 million signatures, I believe. I mean, they're very close to present to the Japanese government. It's like they're not popular, and it's reaching massive amounts of attention all over the world. So those are ways of saying let's not. Actually, I think Japan just stopped the whaling this last week. I just read the news. They broke off the whaling season. Because, you know, we've hunted the seas for fish, and they're almost empty. Besides, do you know that the FDA suggests not to eat more than one serving per fish to pregnant women? Because the mercury in the fish, and that's all sea-dwelling things, the mercury poisoning is so high that if a pregnant woman were to eat more fish than once per month, the fetus stands a chance of having brain damage. That's how much mercury is in a fish. Yes. Once per month.
Yes.
Now, if you... Yeah.
That's awful.
I mean, it's pathetic.
That's awful gross.
That's awful. And, but we, you know, that I'm promoting vegetarianism. I think if we want to do something good for this planet, don't just change your light bulbs and don't just use biodegradable soaps. Besides, are people really using biodegradable soaps at home? Anyhow.
No, I don't know.
No, right, you know?
But
stop eating meat and fish. Go to a planet.
Just go out in the wild and have some swimming and get to know the dolphins. And life will be, you know, I don't use the word believe, but like what you're saying about, I think I told you, I go out where I live at the beach. And when I'm in one of my dark places, which whatever you want to call it, pain body, whatever people call it,
right,
I've actually gone out there and I will sit there and I'll see, and they'll come around. They do come around. And I don't know if I made it happen because of my, you know, like manifesting, but they were out there anyway, maybe, but still they come around and just knowing, and I just look at them, at the pods or whatever, and I know that they're just love. I feel so much better. It's amazing how just that makes me feel so much better.
Just seeing them.
Yeah.
A lot of people, whether they're on the boat just watching dolphins, and that's what they're trying to promote here in Bali, is just go out and look at the dolphins. Just look at them. And you, I mean, the people who come back, I have a retreat center here in Bali on the North Shore, bali-shangri-la.com. But anyways, for the advertising.
It's okay.
No, but we go out and look at dolphins at sunrise, and people come back and they go, oh, I had 100 dolphins, I had whatever, 50, 42, 3 dolphins, whatever. And they're so uplifted just seeing dolphins. I mean, maybe it's what we've made it into, maybe because Flipper really touched us in the movie, but there's something that responds in us as humans, and I think it's because the dolphins actually vibrate at a higher frequency.
Yes, you are absolutely. That's absolutely. So there's a sense of healing. When I saw, I felt better.
Yeah,
and
just being in their presence. Mm-hmm.
And also, I think that we're all connected somehow. You know, there's the connection there. And well, I'm not saying I was a fish, and you know, I mean, a mammal, a dolphin. Although I wouldn't mind if I was. That was okay. But
we are conscious. I mean, we are sort of sharing self-awareness. Dolphins actually in captivity have been shown self-awareness abilities to where, like, if they've had like a cross drawn on their back, they can swim by a mirror and then they'll look back and identify themselves, or even in a video camera, they demonstrate that they know. It's actually, you know, I've worked with Roberta Goodman a number of years and we're friends, and she's in Hawaii taking people out. And Roberta Goodman, Hawaii, the big island. And she worked with Dr. John Lilly, the foremost dolphin researcher. And one of the trainings, she had to untrain them to be released, because that was John Lilly's commitment to his two dolphins, Joan Rosie, to release them into the wild after they'd captivated for research purposes. And she, at one point, is training, I think it was those two. But anyhow, she goes, okay, we're doing something new, kids. I'm putting a blindfold on my face, and I'm going to toss you fish if I hear where you are. because she figured, you know, you train me, I'll show you that I'm willing to learn. So the dolphins would come out and eventually figure out they had to make a sound to catch the fish. So they would come out and make a sound. They would be further away or closer by. But not only did they make a sound, over time they reduced the volume until it became inaudible to Roberta.
Oh,
once she wouldn't throw a fish, and this is the amazing deduction, once she started not throwing fish because she could no longer hear them. And she said, you know, I can't hear you guys. From that moment on, they would only vocalize in her presence in an audible range that was audible to her own ears.
That's
out how much she could hear and how much she couldn't hear. Yeah, wow. That is huge.
That is a wow. That's pretty... That transcends what we can do. I mean, what we're capable of doing, we just, you know, I just, it's amazing. And it's, you know, I would like to ask you before we end it, because we're getting close, I want to make sure that I want to talk about your books that you've published.
Yeah.
And also, there was one thing. I know there's one of the host here was asking about, I know the... different colored dolphins, white dolphins. And I asked you about that, pink dolphins. I know they're all in different regions. But dolphins are dolphins. I mean, the thing of it is none of them are different except by the way they look. They're all pretty much, they're all family-oriented, right? And
they're family-oriented. They do have different shapes, sizes, colors, and shapes, sizes of brains. Because of the size of brain, they have different behaviors, such as the spinner dolphins in Hawaii work more as an entire group. You will hardly ever see a lonely spinner dolphin. As a matter of fact, if you ever see a lonely dolphin, it's because the entire group kicked the one dolphin out and said, no more. This is called prison time. And in dolphin language, that's called isolation. And isolation to the dolphin is one of the cruelest things that they can experience because they need love, they need interaction, and they need each other to survive on fish, to capture fish together. They work as a team. And so lonely dolphins usually take the company up with humans who throw fish or fishermen who leave leftovers for the dolphins. So dolphins are different in brain sizes all over the world and do have different habitats, different, some are sweet water, some are salt water, some, the flipper ones are the ones that have the biggest brain and they are the ones that are usually being used for the shows. So that's just an answer to, are there differences, but they all share what you're saying is the family, team, connectedness. And they have strong rules as to what's in and what's out and how they make peace. And I have tons of another time to tell more stories.
Yeah, I could talk to you forever. Could you tell us about your books?
Okay.
Could you let people know about your books?
Well, the books are written in such a way that I am the person who discovers, is telepathy real? Is it not? Does it work? And how does our mind interact with the holographic universe around us? Do we really affect the physical reality? In small areas, you know, creating your parking lot, people might think, yeah, I've done that. In larger ways, how much do we collectively create or how much do we individually make changes? And so I write about procedures as well in a lively story, in a storytelling format, which makes it interesting. The first book is about the holographic nature of the universe. The second book is about the nature of our human ability to unite our souls. And... you know, the whole issue about truthfulness, even monogamy, connecting of soul, merging your soul, all those intertwined with dolphin experiences. So they have been published in various languages around the world, you know, from English, French, German, Spanish, to Czech, to Polish, to...
You're popular, girl.
India,
you speak other languages, I know, too. And also, your books also are on your guest art. The guest page on psychicaccess.com for everybody that wants to know. You can go there. And I myself am going to be reading one of the books and I can't wait. And,
Maureen, it actually tells you methods of transformation in the book. So I've had one radio host who actually happened to get a hold of the book before she interviewed me and she did one of the techniques and had a phenomenal results. So maybe hopefully you can do some of them and just tell some.
Yeah, I'll share them. I'll share that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, Ilona, I wish I could keep you forever. But just not keep you. I wouldn't want to keep you, take you from here.
I'd stay for voluntarily.
I'm a real kind thank you for joining us tonight. I have much respect for what you do, and I do, and I really appreciate you sharing your insight, and more importantly, your commitment to your intentions of being compassionate and considerate and understanding true authentic. Simple as that. You are that.
Thanks.
And I really appreciate you a lot, and getting to know you in our talk and everything. So thank you for joining
us. Thanks for doing this.
And
thanks for you guys, all of you guys behind the scenes.
And it's lovely. And I want everybody to know, to contact Ilona Selke, please visit her website at http://// www.ilona, it's ilonaselke.com. That's her full name. And her contact information page is also on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So there you have it,
cool.
Everybody.
There you have it. Beautiful.
And thank you. And bless your heart. Say hi to
Bally.
Bless
your heart, too. Okay. All right. Bye.
Good night. Or good morning.
Good morning. Good night, all. Yeah. Be well. Have fun with your psychic readings now. I'd love to get one. Bye.
Bye. She's so wonderful. She's so wonderful. I just don't. I don't know what everybody thinks. I just think she's lovely. And that's all I have. And I have more to say about that, too. But I don't know.
She was wonderful. I completely enjoyed listening to her. I could have sat there and just listened to her for hours and hours.
It's just sweet.
Yeah, she really knows her stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And Nancy, are you still there?
Yes, it was totally amazing.
Okay, I'm echoing a little bit. I don't know. She's saying, she's just saying that was so great, sweet. She's saying thank you to us all, by the way. And I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements, if that's okay with everybody. I think so. And here we go. I want to be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to how-tos of psychic development to don't-dos of everything else. But it's a really great writing from all the people at psychicaccess.com. So if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. And it is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access. And I've been doing so for a very long time. He's always been the same because of the high expectations that are required of each psychic. And that's a direct reflection of Doug, of how he is, and I appreciate it, Doug. So all of the co-hosts here are on psychicaccess.com, work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And, by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Okay, and also, if you like our show, please invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, their friends and family neighbors, to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic View. The chat room is interactive. It's a lot of fun. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We'd very much appreciate it. So now we're going to come to the part of our show. Oh, the call and reading number. I'm going to tell you what it is right now. I'll be telling you again, all of you people, lovely people listening. The call and number for readings at the end of the show, at the end of the last 30 minutes or so of the show, is 724-444-4851. I will repeat that later. So, this comes to our fun time, gals. I forgot, Steve's not with us, so I don't say get boys. Okay. Steve's on holiday and with his family. Someone really cool. So, you know, Nancy, you often use animal medicine cards in your readings. And when the dolphins appear, what does it represent?
Well, the dolphin represents solutions, and when the dolphin comes into the spread in the reading, the dolphin is trying to send us a message of that we should be becoming aware and more aware of our personal selves, rather than our surroundings. The dolphin is trying to tell us to bring more laughter and joy into our lives. As we were listening to Alona, she talked about, you know, how fun-loving and free they are. And the dolphin is kind of reminding us to live life the same way and be full of joy and break down the barriers that a lot of us often put up in our lives. A nice card to show up.
Yeah, I guess it would be a card that I would want to show up.
Yeah.
I think that's really, you know, that's interesting. I know that, what kind of cards are they? The medicine, you're not using the medicine cards, are they?
Yeah, it's the animal medicine cards.
Oh, God, I have those cards, and now I'm going to pay attention.
I love them, yeah.
I love them too, and I will usually, but the dolphin, thank you for sharing that, Nancy. I think that's lovely. And, you know, Sharon, I understand a friend of yours had a strange experience with a dolphin when visiting Florida. Can you tell us all about that? Yo, Sharon. Unmute.
Oh, hello.
Sorry about that. I
was swimming with the dolphins in my mind. My friend was at a restaurant in Florida, and there was like a little fence, and she was like looking out. They had their camera ready, and they were trying to find dolphins, asking the dolphins to come, and looking way out, and this dolphin came right up by the fence and jumped right out, and like she almost could have touched it if they were like fast enough, but it was like it was listening to them, and it was when she told me that story, I thought that's so cute.
It is,
you know?
Cute.
Yeah, so it came right up to them. Meanwhile, their cameras are like really far away, but it was good. So
that's you know, see, the dolphins are coming out now.
Yeah.
And like I said, because I live at the beach, you know, like and when I was younger, going to Catalina, like I told her, I did. And they used to swim. It was a sailboat. They would do their thing along. It was so beautiful. And all the way to Catalina, if people don't know where it is, it's this little island, 28 miles away from like Los Angeles, out in the middle of the water. And the dolphins, it's so beautiful. And they have their bounce. We're not, you know, running them down, but they sometimes they just swim along. And Mom, if you're listening, you'll remember this. I think my mom is listening, or my father will later. And that was one of the most beautiful things I remember, because it'd be like they're just hanging with us while we're sailing, you know, doing our thing. So I think that's just lovely. And Rez,
yes,
I would like to know what you feel about. I'd love to know anything you want to talk about dolphins.
Oh, bless you. You know, it's so cool because the very first time that I was exposed to dolphins and saw dolphins was also on a yacht going to Catalina from Los Angeles. And I was 8 years old. And the first time I saw them swimming in schools, that's the first time I learned about that, and then other fish were jumping alongside them. I was so amazed, and I'll never, ever, ever forget the feeling that gave me, that stayed with me my whole life, and I'm not even anywhere near 8 years old right now, so it's been a long time. I loved what Alona said about the feelings, about what you're feeling, you know, when you think of something and you think of how it feels for that thing to be in your life and to be real, when you're around the dolphins or when you're thinking about dolphins, that is the same way that you can communicate, or that we can communicate well with other animals too. I've noticed that's true about my cat, actually.
Yeah, true. That makes sense. Absolutely. That does make sense. Absolutely. Uh-huh. You know, like I said, when I went on, I would go on the beach when I'm in my, and I get into dark places, everybody. Okay? I do. I'm admitting it. I get really down on myself. And, it's like they disappear. They just appear, even though they may be out there hanging around the surface, but it's almost like they kind of like connect with me. And whether it's my imagination, who cares? I don't care. It's better than any medication a psychiatrist can give you, okay? Or any shock treatment, whatever. It just makes me feel everything's okay.
Isn't that amazing?
And it's pure love. It's pure feeling of, I'm not talking about being in love and that word, I don't use it love very often, but it is. It's just, it's so unbelievable how that, it's just, and here you are, they're doing these things to these dolphins, but you know, Nancy, wait a minute, Nancy, I'm sorry, I'm going to Sharon. Rez and Nancy, Sharon, your husband mentioned, you know, she talked about this too, and I did some research on that, mentioned that, to you that they use the dolphins in the war, and maybe the same thing gets the mines. I know Rez was talking about it. Can you tell us a little bit more about this, or that your husband, you know, talked to you?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I am I on? Yeah.
Yeah. You're on.
I was surprised when I was talking about the dolphins. I said, I really don't know much about them, and he said they used to use them in the war. They said that they would teach them to go to the mines. It's not like they would. They would push the mines off, but they would warn them where the mines are. And I just thought that was. They said they had to be careful because if there was another school of dolphins, they would sort of go with them, you know. But it really worked, and I thought that is like the neatest thing. I never knew that. So I know she already spoke about that, though.
No, I know that. That's okay because you know I did some research on that myself just last night or night before. I don't even know what night, but I was looking at YouTube some videos about that, and it was amazing how they did it. Now they weren't real mines, of course, but also the mines if they were they would not harm the dolphins because I forget why the reason was. So they weren't putting the dolphins in jeopardy, but they would. They would put something there, and then they'd be able to detect if it was a real mine, but it was actually a monk, a muck, monk, whatever. But it was wonderful, and I didn't know that either until you had brought it up as a question. But
And then something about guiding ships and stuff too. So that was interesting too.
Yeah, and I think the good ships, the good lollipops. I don't know. Good ship. Wasn't that song Shirley Temple's? Nancy, I'm getting all over the place. I'm not all over the place. I just love her. I just loved our guest. She's sending me her book, you guys, share it with you.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, really, and she offered it, and so she said it already went out, so I can't wait to read it. But did we already talk about, Rez kind of brought up, do you think that we all share or feel deep connections with animals? And do you feel this is with dolphins? Well, I think that I didn't ask you this yet, I don't think.
No. Is that for me?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. You know what?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you. You see, because we were talking as Rez, we interacted on the, you know, we're all girls. We don't have Steve here tonight, like, you know, surrounding us.
There's a lot of giggling.
Yeah. It's good for us. Yes, yeah. Nancy, could you share with that, you feel the deep connection we have? You know.
I do, and that's part of the reason why I called myself, I call myself Silver Wolf, and part of that is because of my deep connection with animals, and the silver is partly because I have some gray hair. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lady Clara.
Yeah.
But I do feel a deep connection, and I do feel it with dolphins as well, which is really strange because I never learned how to swim. And I live in Canada, and I grew up on the coast right next to the Atlantic Ocean, and the water was always too cold to swim in, so I never really learned how to swim, but I always was drawn to the water, and I love to go out in a boat. And for years and years and years, I cannot tell you how many years, but I dreamt about dolphins for many, many years. And it was about 20 years ago. And I would have these reoccurring dreams, and they were just so beautiful. I would be riding on the backs of the dolphins, and it was like they knew I didn't know how to swim. So they would carry me around on their backs, and the dreams would be just really joyful. And that went on for about a five-year period.
Wow.
It was amazing.
What a beautiful.
Gorgeous, yeah. Very nice.
That's just, like I said, I still, you know, I must have read this somewhere, but dolphins are, they're humans in the sea.
Uh-huh.
And they really are. And Rez?
Yeah.
Are you a dolphin?
She's a mermaid. Yes.
Rez, what's your, you know, you've been around water. I know, I mean, no, I want to ask you something, Rez, about maybe, if you don't mind. I really changed my, after talking to Ilona the other night, we had a two-hour conversation, and it was wonderful, but I was really not thinking straight about these petting, I live in San Diego, SeaWorld and all that. I always thought, didn't think much, neither nor, but after she discussed it with me, I was sick about it, because the fact that, well, I wouldn't let my daughter want her to go away with some people, and so they could pet her and feed her, and it'd be her entertaining them, and I wouldn't see her again. I found that. Have you ever been to a place where, like that, where they?
Oh yeah, we used to go to Marine Land and SeaWorld and all that stuff all the time. So yeah, because San Diego was only a couple hours away from where we used to live.
Right, and so now that you know the knowledge that you have now. So you were younger when this, maybe. So what do you think now that you have insight into what this? What would you take your own children there or your grandchildren or?
Heavens no, I wouldn't. I've never taken my son to see anything like that because I just, you know, I used to feel funny about it when I was a kid seeing stuff like that. That you know, your parents would say, oh, well, they're well taken care of, and they're fed, and they're happy, and they're trained, you know, just like Ilona said. And I was like, well, okay. But when you understand how much their brains really are not that different from ours, and the feelings that they have, and when you do a little research on it, even if you just see a movie like Day of the Dolphin, for crying out loud.
Yes.
And just that. Yeah. How can you say that it's okay? You know, how can anybody? You know, you've got no heart if that's how you feel. If you're taking the they're just animals approach, and I'm getting really adamant about that, aren't I? But
no, it's good. It's good.
It bothers me. Yeah, no, I would never. No, it's awful. You know, we won't. There was a Twilight Zone, I think it was, about humans that were pets or on display.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that one. It was yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it did break my heart when, like I said, I never was really interested. I never took my daughter, but I never thought so bad of it. Because I, you know, my head, like I said, they were fed in my head. In my head, they're fed. You know, I know that they have dolphins, but whenever I've been to SeaWorld, I never would go to the shows. It wasn't in it. I wasn't interested in sitting. I'm too hyper anyway. But I was never interested in that. But after she brought it up about my daughter, it really got to me, like thinking in my mind, what if someone did that? And these are family-oriented, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just, and there's so much, they're in the right functional way, family-oriented. It's important. The families are very important.
When you grow up in a coastal place like California, or probably even Florida is the same way, these kinds of places and these kinds of sea life exhibits, even in zoos, are normal. You don't think anything of it until somebody says, hey, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah, I guess I know now, but I have really changed my tune. I'm going to try to do the best I can because they are outside where I live. More so, I don't have to go track them down. And dolphins, I'm over here in the inland. But I wanted to ask Nancy: Do you communicate with animals, and can we all do it?
Yes, I do, and I think we all do unconsciously or subconsciously. And apparently, the best way to communicate with an animal, anyway, is non-verbally. So it's by your body language and telepathically. And I have a lot of animals, and I rescue animals as well. And You know, you can just look at them and see the pain in their eyes and on their faces. And so there's many ways to communicate with them. But I think, you know, like Ilona talked about with the dolphins sending them messages telepathically, I think we can do that with all animals.
Yes, I agree. What do you girls think?
Absolutely. It's about feeling. You know, if you think about an animal that you love or that's in your life and you feel love for them and you feel, you ask them, you know, can I come love you or can I pick you up, and you're thinking that you love them, they're probably going to come to you.
Totally.
And, you know, I'm an animal. I come to you if you start. You definitely. We're going to take a short commercial from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
And we're back. And I would like to give the call-in number for readings. You might want to start getting on that, because that way we'll be sure to get to everybody. And that number is 724. We come to that part where we're going to be taking calls and questions. So you can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. But however, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. And the call-in number for your reading is 724-444-4851. And again, that number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So please relax, and you'll be able to listen to the show while you wait. So it's not that we've forgotten about you. You just won't have a person saying we're putting you on, you know, hold, whatever. And also, it's very important that we'd really like you to be very specific and direct with your question, as this will really help us and allow us to better connect with your situation. So one question directly is good for this type of, you know, venue we're doing here. So with that said, I do want to ask anybody if they have ever seen a dolphin. I heard that there were a lot just the other night, two nights ago. Okay. Well, I think we're gonna. Well, real quick. There's been a lot of baby dolphins. They think it's been they've been washing up to shore, and that they think it might have to do with the oil spill. And they're doing some research on it. There's so many of the babies, and it's really sad. So let's pray for that they'll find a reason why it's very sad. So we do have some callers waiting to do readings, and we're ready for readings. So we have Pennsylvania. Wrong. Virginia. Hi, Virginia, and welcome to our show.
Hi.
And what's your name? I know you're from Virginia. And what's your name? I know. And what's your name, please? Hello? You still there? Yes? Oh, no. Well, maybe we'll get her. Maybe we'll get to her. Try again, I guess. Maybe, I hope it didn't scare you away, but I couldn't have done that. Wisconsin. We have Wisconsin. Jeez. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. And what's your name?
Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. And Res Miranda will be taking your call, your question, okay, and reading. And could you, Res, here you go. Stephen.
Okay. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great, and I hope you are too. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, first of all, I kind of feel guilty getting away from the whole dolphin thing, because it's such a good show.
No, go right ahead.
I've been working with a psychic access woman for a while now, but this is only the second time I've listened. But I'm going to pass the word. It's a good show. It's good what you people are doing. I'm glad to hear it. I hate to bring my own trials and tribulations to the show, but I guess that's what people are calling for, at least free reading for. Real simple question. Do you do the relationship thing? I've got a question for you.
Absolutely.
All right, the love and relationship thing. Okay. I'm in love with a woman who seems to, she claims she loves me, but she seems to drift in and out of my life like the wind. I'm not going to get
all righty, I'm pulling a couple of cards about that. Okay. All right. Basically, we're seeing, and I'll make this as quick as possible and hopefully you understand. We have the Five of Wands first. This is a card about fighting, struggle, communication, not doing that very well.
No,
and next
doesn't.
We have the Four of
Destiny. I'm writing a book for crying out loud. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Next, we have the Four of Discs, which is about balance. So we can say that balance is the thing that she struggles the most with. Okay? With me so far?
You're dead on so far as I'm concerned. Go ahead.
Okay, and the last card is the Page of Pentacles. And the Page of Pentacles is about new opportunities. We can even say, in a sense, immature opportunities, opportunities that don't mature, things that don't mature, things that only last so long. So here's the deal. Your friend is someone who does have feelings for you and who does care about you. She also falls in love really easily. Okay. And what this means is it's kind of like nothing against her, but it's kind of like being attracted by shiny new objects. After they're not shiny new anymore, they're less interesting. And so the way she keeps things interesting is to not be around all the time.
Yeah, pretty much dead on so far.
Okay. All right. Now, I know the real question is, can you really have a consistent long-term relationship with someone like that? You can, however, it's going to be exactly what you're experiencing now, unfortunately. You know, so she's going to be in and out. She doesn't really want anybody to get that close and stay that close because she's not happy with herself and she's a little bit scared of people. But, you know, that's probably as far as she's going to take it is what you're experiencing right now.
Yeah, that's very interesting. To be honest, I think you're pretty much dead on.
Okay.
When you love somebody, it's like, you know, you in or out, and I can't read her from Adam as far as whether she is or not or coming back or I don't know what to say, but you're reading
sure.
Pretty good, I think.
Sure. I think that you understand her. Logically, you understand her. Emotionally, it's hard to take. I can certainly see that. It sure is, because that puts your emotions on a roller coaster. So you maybe need to be a little bit protective of that. And we'll help you, okay? Stay in touch with us on Psychic Access, will ya?
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Res Miranda.
Okay, all right. Maybe I'm going to give you a call then. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. Good night.
Just look us up on there, and I'll be there usually in the evenings, or Maureen, or Nancy, or Sharon, all different times. Find one of us or find me anytime.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, Stephen. Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye. All right, and who's next? Virginia.
Hello.
Hi, who do we have from Virginia?
B.
Hi, B. I'm going to give you to Sharon because it's her turn. Okay? Sharon,
okay.
Are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Hi, B. How are you?
Hi, Sharon. I have, it's a little bit complex, so I'm trying to articulate it as much as possible. My father passed away probably about 20 years ago and left a shared property between other family members. However, his portion was willed to my sisters and I. And we're having some issues as far as some legal issues going on right now. Just trying to see if you see anything resolving anytime soon.
I'm spirit's telling me to go. I'm going to one person in particular who seems to be stirring the pot more so than anybody else. It feels like a woman, and I feel Spirit's telling me that I want to go to July and August, and I feel that there's a little bit of a break in this whole situation. I sense from Spirit that there's some kind of corporation or something that is involved also besides people. I'm not quite sure what that's about. Pardon?
Attorneys involved. We have attorneys that are involved. So I don't know if that's what you're picking on. I don't know.
Yeah, I just sense some kind of company. And what I'm feeling, though, is July and August, there's going to be a huge break. Now, is there actual arguing amongst yourselves, or is it just more the lawyers fighting each other?
Well, the lawyers are probably fighting each other. As far as my sisters and I are concerned, we're letting the lawyers handle the legal issues part of it. There's no communication. The person that you're seeing is actually my aunt, so there's no communication between us.
All right, because she just seems to be stirring the pot. But I do see July and August, and I'm feeling a little bit of a break. And I'm feeling that when I go to December, January, I feel like some of the money is being released. Like I see, like I feel you, when your energy, like from Spirit, I feel your energy just kind of like going, oh, thank goodness it's over. Like I just, and you know, that's when I go into that energy, I'm feeling like December, January. And there's, you know, just keep visualizing and just keep pretending that it, like, you know, like the lady said, Alona, just be there, what it would feel like if it already happened, and just think positive. But I feel this is the year to break it off.
We should have some closure as far as this year.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Like I said, Spirit's saying July, August, there's a major break, and then money starts to flow in December and January of this year. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, but you take care and good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for calling. That was a great reading, Sharon.
Thank you.
And I would like to announce the number one more time. Another time. I've done it one more time, a couple times. But that number to call in, and you would want to call in right now because we have a line open, is 724-444-4851. Okay. So there you have it. We don't have any chat questions, do we? I'm not much in the... Girls, do we have any chat questions?
No, don't see any.
No.
Okay, well, I do you girls have a question?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I know there's, I say hello to everybody in the chats on both sides because I'm not able to interact as I'd like to because I'm staying here. But, uh-huh. So hello everybody. And if you want to call in for a reading, don't be shy. We're very nice.
Sometimes.
Very nice. Yes, we're nice most of the time. Also, Avatar has a question. Avatar has a question in the chat. And Avatar, we can ask if you don't want to call. But if you'd like to call, we'd love to have you on the uh-huh. air. But she has a question. There, go, we're ready. And there we have it. So we'll wait for her question. And also, I would like to tell Rez again and Nancy, thank you so much for being our guest host. Why Steve and Jackie are not here. They both will be back next week.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, thank you.
We do have a call from Hawaii for Nancy right now, but we'll get to the chat. You can put your question in the chat, and we'll get to that after those, okay? So, hi, Hawaii.
Hello, Maureen.
Wait a minute. Who is this? Oh, Michael. I'm psychic. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Great show tonight. Awesome guest.
Yeah,
awesome.
She's wonderful.
I love to talk about dolphins. You know, I want to share something real quick. I actually worked on an island here in Hawaii. We had dolphins that were locked up. It was the saddest thing. The military was doing tests on them for underwater so-called recovery and so forth, and it was so sad. Nighttime you would hear them crying because the pens they had would face the ocean, and so you know they want to get out and get free.
That is something sad. Michael, Nancy's here to take your call and your question. Nancy, this is Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hello, Nancy. I'm fine.
How are you this evening?
do you see any, do you pick up anything for me in the near future? Anything happening work-wise or anything in general, finances?
Okay.
Anything?
That's
have you
good.
Applied? Are you working right now, Michael?
Nope.
Okay. I'm seeing that patience is a virtue for you, and that you've made the foundation, you've built a foundation, and you've put feelers out there, and you've done everything that you've had to do, and now the work is done, and you still need to continue to search and do things to get employment, but it's coming. It's coming, and I feel that you're going to get a message soon, and you're going to get some good news. Is there something in particular that you really are waiting on hearing, like a place that you're waiting to hear back from, or there's a place in particular that you really have your heart set on?
Not in general. Not in general. I've been on disability for 2 years, and
okay.
It appeared to me to go back to work. They gave me a good bill of health,
mm-hmm.
Except I need glasses. But other than that, I've been cleared to go back to work, so I was just wondering about that.
Okay. Was there some legal issues involved in the disability as well that's finally being cleared up?
No. It's just that the doctors have cleared me to go back. My health has gotten better, so they've cleared me to go back to work.
Okay. Well, you're cleared, and I think, it's going to take, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period, you know, because it's been a while since you worked, and now, you know, you're already physically, and I think now, too, you've got to prepare yourself a little bit emotionally to get back, and, you know, that's going to take a little bit of time, so don't be too hard on yourself, but there is, there is a job waiting for you, and there is a job that's going to come soon, and financially things are going to fall into place as well, but there's going to be a little bit of a transitional period for you. I don't feel it's going to be a long period of time, but I think that you're on a crossroads right here now, and things are just looking up. There's a lot of positive cards that came out in this spread, and there's nothing but good things ahead for you, and I think you've got the world at your fingertips.
Well, thank you very much for the wonderful reading, and I'll let you get going, and thank you again for the wonderful show tonight.
Well, thank you for listening, and all the best to you.
Thank you, Michael, for calling in. I really appreciate you, as you know. I do, always.
Bye.
He's just a good fellow. And Dara, you know, okay, so I want Avatar in a chat would like to know, I guess this is for me. This is for me. She would like to know what will happen with my partner's employment situation. Okay. Hi, Avatar. It's Maureen. Well, I guess you can figure that one out by now. And so let me, your employment situation. So my feeling is this. And, there's a lot, you know, there is, it's interesting, even though there might be some concern going on right now, I do get a feeling that this is a good time for you to be working on the relationship stuff. Which is, in one way, a good, it, you know, a negative can be a positive, but I hope you can ever hear me. There's some money coming your way, or you and your partner, there's something, it's either in a form, it's something that has been delayed, there's something coming that is due to him, and I'm not sure what happened or what the situation was, but it's something that had been delayed. Now, it was not a good situation where he was before, so I think that it's good if his employment. Okay, so you're asking about his employment, whether he's employed or not. I'm not clear because I'm not talking to you, but I don't feel it's a good energy around the area that he was, or if he is still employed. It's just not real. It's not at a higher vibration. The people around it are just, we're colored by our environment, you know, and the thing of it is, so who we are around, will it just wear and tear on us. I do feel that he may be getting, and it's not going to change, there's so much commotion around his work, or if he's left there, there still is commotion around there. This amount, this money or something coming, is something that I think he could use to start his own thing. And I think I know it reflects that he'd be very successful, as well as it's almost like a coming, it's his time. And I see your relationship, if I don't know if you're married or not, but I'm getting that you both really want a traditional, more conventional type of way of, he's looking for a new job, she says. Okay, and I think that's fantastic. But I do feel that he also could do well to be in his own thing. You have the strength available to deal with anything that's happening to within his job, which is very important for maybe him to also realize, because you have the strength available. You're not freaking out about it like some other person would. But all in all, I think it's a positive direction what he's doing. He is looking for a new job, and that is exactly what he needs to do, because this other one that he's involved in is just no good's going to come from it anymore. And I'm not saying, because it's just, there's so many changes, there's so much commotion, there's so much torment. It's like it's just not healthy, and he's overqualified. I really get that he's overqualified. So I think there's some very positive things happening if he takes action on that. And I think that you'd be very supportive to do so. Then you guys can have your traditional thing and move on towards the rest of your journey in your life. So, excuse me. It's very good. So I would be supportive with that, for him looking for a new job. The sooner the better. So I hope that helped. And thank you for asking. Great. She says, yes, it is. Great. Because people that will be hearing that won't know. So I'm going to say what she's saying back. So we... Thank you. Okay, so we have Ontario back, and this will be for Rez. Hi, Ontario.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Carolyn.
Well, hi, Carolyn, and Rez will be taking your call. And Rez, Carolyn?
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Rez,
how are
you?
Nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you, too. Great show about the dolphins. I am such a supporter to Free the Dolphins. I don't go to SeaWorld. I don't go to anything. We have marine land up here. I don't go to anything like that to support, showing the dolphins and stuff. I don't support that.
Well,
so
thank
I
you
love the show.
On their behalf.
My question is, my husband and I, we have a consulting business, and it's in the greening industry. Just curious to see if that's really going to take off this year. It's already started to a bit, but just curious to see where that's headed.
Okay, what I'm seeing basically about that is that it is a perfect fit as far as a business for you and your husband. It's something that, it was a dream that you both had for a long time that you brought into being, and I think that's wonderful, manifested that into physical reality and in our vernacular.
Yeah, right.
But what I'm seeing is that it's pretty smooth sailing. There's the only glitches that I've seen have happened recently are about bureaucracy, paperwork, legalities, that sort of thing. But you're about to get through all that. You're about to be through with any of the you know, legal government law stuff, you know, to cover yourself. So that's
our government does want to get involved in our business. So but there is a lot of legal things we're going through right now. You're right in that. And so once we get beyond that, you're saying that it's really going to fly. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely going to fly. You're going to get through it. It's going to be nothing more than a pain in the neck. And yes, a big pain in the neck, most definitely.
It is right now. It's like, oh, you know, you just can't wait to get by that. But once you get by that, it's like, we're just so hoping that it'll go. What we do is something that, that no one else is doing right now. And we've kind of nipped it in the bud before anybody else got on board, sort of thing, you know.
Oh, that's so fantastic. See, that is a dream come true, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. It's something actually my husband's been working on for 15 years now, and starting to come to fruition. So, oh, thank you very, very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're so very welcome. Please keep in touch with us and let us know how things are going.
Oh, I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks. Bye.
Blessings. Bye. Bye.
Great connection, Rez. Very, very good.
Wow, that was so cool.
And Florida. Hi, Florida. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing tonight?
Fine. And what's your name?
This is Tammy.
Tammy? Hi, Tammy.
Yeah.
Hi, Tammy. Hey, I know Tammy. And Tammy, Sharon. Sharon is going to read for you.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi. How are you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Oh, that's good.
I'm doing okay. I do have a question for you, and,
sure.
And hopefully maybe I can get an answer, and then I'll be feeling better.
I didn't quite hear. I'm sorry.
I said hopefully after talking to you, I'll be feeling even better because.
Oh
I'll be
yeah,
to
I hope so
an
too.
An answer to my question.
Okay.
Okay. My question to you is, I'm feeling some negative energy being thrown in my direction, and I was wondering if maybe if you can pick up on that and possibly where it's coming from.
Okay.
I don't feel like.
Now, yeah. Okay. I'm feeling there's two women beside you, and I'm not sure if it's at work or somewhere you go day to day, and I'm sensing that the reason they're sending the energy is because they're a little bit jealous or a little bit you know, it feels like in life you kind of take things easy, you kind of take things slow, you kind of allow things versus taking things, and I'm just sensing for them, they're sensing that your life is easier, and they're a little somewhat jealous, and Spirit's saying you can beat this. It's nothing you can't handle. It's almost like you just have to, you know, put up a mirror facing out and let their stuff come back to them. I'm going to November of this year, and I'm feeling like this is beyond you. This is you. You know, you figure out who it is, and you just have no reason for it in your life anymore. But it just feels like two women, and it feels like I'm feeling from Spirit that they're kind of heavy set. And now do you work in the day?
No, ma'am, I don't.
You don't? Okay. Okay. So I don't know who these two women are, but they're nothing to worry about because, you know, the life you live is always helping people. You know, you're in a really good space. So whatever negative energy is being thrown at you, you can just wipe away. It's got nothing to do with you. So is it making you nervous or you?
Is this a karma thing coming back, you know, to kind of bite me for something that maybe that I've done? So, of course, I've been second guessing myself and trying just to figure it out because the knives in the back have just come from nowhere and I just don't understand it.
Yeah, so no, don't beat yourself up because then when you start saying things like that, then you just create more negativity, right? So, you know, you're exactly where you're meant to be and Spirit's all around you and you know, it's just something you're going through. And when I go to November, I see sort of a metaphor of you coming out of this, and walking into kind of like walking into more light, more, you know, get any little messages that Spirit's trying to show you, make sure that you grab onto them. And I'm feeling a book coming your way that's going to really help you. I'm sensing Spirit's saying in the next, like, 3-4 months, there's a book coming to you that's going to help you break away from this feeling that you deserve this negativity because you sure don't. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. You take care of yourself.
Thank you. Have a blessed evening.
Okay. You too. That's nice. Thank you.
Hi, Tammy. Thanks for calling in. Tammy, I like Tammy.
Bye, Maureen.
Tammy.
You have a good night.
Thanks, Tammy. You too.
Take care.
Okay, and I believe that we have a Well, you know, I'm going to hand it over to Rez because she sees someone that would like to add a question from Gary. Gary's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and he's a firefighter, too. So we applaud that. Yeah, he is. Did you know that?
Yes, I saw him type in a ceremony.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. But you know that he has, whatever the question may be, but you would you mind, because I didn't really see it much, would you mind, and this is for Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. This is a good question, too, and it's an interesting one, actually. He asks, why do most astrologers, at least in his experience, seem to back away from Scorpios?
Huh.
I take it he's had a good experience with that.
Okay, and what does he mean by all astrologers? Is that like it's just crazy. In general? Or
I think that's what he means, yeah, that astrologers maybe seem to be a little wary or maybe warning of Scorpios in some way.
You know, Scorpios have a sting, and you know, I don't think we're born when we're born and we're born at a certain time and that dictates our, you know, path through the planets. But I don't know if all astrologers do that, but I know that because of the sting, I guess some Scorpio people do have a bit of a bite. And I think that the challenge that Scorpio people, because we all have a challenge in our life path that we have to deal with, and I believe that for the Scorpio, it's just that they have a tendency to, not to lash out, but maybe hold a grudge, and I think that's something that's a challenge for some of our Scorpio friends, and I think when you're aware of your life challenges and the barriers that you face on your path, that you're more able to deal with them. So I don't think people should shy away from it or anything like that. I think that, you know, as we all do, that's just an issue or a thing a difficulty that the Scorpio people have to deal with, and we all have our difficulties. So I think that if you are a Scorpio and that you know you have issues around that, that's something that you can deal with.
Yeah, another thing too, I've noticed that a lot of Scorpio people, just speaking from my own experience, I was married to one and I've known quite a few. They're very charismatic people, and
yes,
that's intimidating to some people and attractive to others. So that's an extreme energy, I think, that can have different effects on different people. So I guess it depends
totally.
The astrologer you talk to.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I see Scorpios because it should be strung out and hard, but I'm joking. I don't. my moon's in Scorpio, so you can gather why. I think Gary, I adore you. You know I do. And for asking a question, but actually I can get that. But I have a brother Scorpio, and I pray for him more than I pray for myself. I'll just leave it at that. Okay. And
I have a couple of Scorpio friends. I know what you mean.
Yeah, they can be very extreme. They don't do anything halfway. Not anything. Good, bad, indifferent. Not anything.
Yeah, very intense.
Yeah,
they might be schizophrenic. No, I'm just messing with everybody. You know, who am I to say?
None of us one, huh?
They can be very kind, but it has to do with their whole chart. You know, really, it has to go into that, of course. But Scorpios can be very kind. But it depends on the chart.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't say anything bad.
We all have our good and bad qualities.
Yes, we do. We do. I'm Capricorn. I'm pretty much a textbook one, and I can be extremely practical and extremely not the other way. So I definitely have my issues.
Oh, no, you have no issues at all. No, I don't think so. You're issueless.
I think you're my soulmate. I do. I think you're my soulmate.
I think so. I think your voice is a voice that I was supposed to have. I'm sorry. I just had to say that because it was true. I mean, past life stuff. It's okay, Rez. Next time around, next life will just change up.
Okay.
So, I don't know if there's any more chat questions. Or we'd love to chat with everybody. So don't be shy. If you're shy, don't worry. We're really comfortable people. I think. Don't you girls think?
Sure.
It's kind of that's all girls. No, Steve, we miss you when you hear this on archive, which you will. We missed you, Steve. But it's girl takeover time now.
Right. It's girly
girl power.
It's girl power. It's the power into girls. So, so I guess we can talk about whatever we wish.
Yes, let's talk about Steve some more. No.
I think we ought to wait. Sue Saver says my daughter is looking for her cat. Does anybody do Lost and Found? Yeah, I meant that actually seriously, but in a different way. I shouldn't say it that way. Some people like to know where certain things are. You know, if you've lost an item, so a lot of people ask, do you do that? I don't.
Yeah.
I can, but I don't pride myself on doing it because I can, I have, but it's not like something I do all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
we all have different. I'm not good at lost and found either. I'm better at time and character and stuff like that, but lost things, I can't find my own stuff half the time, so.
Mm-hmm. I usually find mine in the refrigerator. I find keys and stuff. But Sharon, can you do that? Do you do that kind of thing?
Well, I keep seeing the cat near some steel. It's almost like steel garbage cans, or like I keep seeing like a garage and these. I see three steel, those old fashioned garbage cans, and there's three of them, and it's like there's a garage, and it's kind of like in a back alley somewhere. So. Does the cat go out? Like, is it an outdoor cat? Let's see. Should I ask her on here?
Yeah, she'll respond. It'll just take a minute, and we can just feed him with me singing. No. It is a black cat. Is it a cat? Oh, yes.
Is it an outdoor cat?
Oh, hey, Maureen, can I ask you something?
Sure.
What's the show next week about? I'm dying to know.
Oh, you know what? Oh. And it's about time that we talk about that, we can finish the cat thing both, yes. But Sharon's going to be doing the show. So Sharon, she says, it should be interesting. She says the cat is black and she is an outdoor cat. Both. So anything else you want to add to that? Anything else?
All right. So I just sensed that, and I sense it'll be back like by Sunday, anyways. So Sue Staver will be back.
That's a nice whole day of. On the seventh day, the cat will rest. We do.
And so, everything you have to feed comes back, and I found that to be true.
Cat
just takes a day off from being around here, and comes back. back.
Well, I think that's good, and maybe it'll come over here to see the dolphins with me. Yeah. And so, I guess it is a time. I've been having a great time with you women, and everybody else in the chats, and everybody else listening out there on the archives. That's not hello, and we had a great time. And so that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show, I do believe. And see, I said the word believe, and I don't say it often, but I wish to thank my guest co-host, and our executive producer, Doug, for his ongoing commitment to an internet radio show like no other, The Psychic View, because it isn't like any other, and I know you girls agree with me. It is wonderful. So next week's show will be anchored by Sharon, and what can we look forward to this next week? It's your first show, isn't it, Sharon? Your first show?
Yes!
Right?
It's my first show. I'm so excited.
Great.
Venus Andrek's going to come on with us, and she's going to talk about, she's a medium, and she gets in touch with the other world, and she does psychic art, and she does lots of things. She's just a riot, too, so she's lots of fun. We're going to have lots of fun in the show.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Rez, have you familiar with her?
Yes, I am. I used to listen to her show. I haven't lately. I used to listen to her show quite a lot when she was on Hay House Radio. And the dream flow, the flow dreaming that she does with her daughter is fascinating.
Summer.
I know she'll tell you that.
Yeah, she's really great. And she's fun. Like, we're all going to laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to save up my laughs and bank them in. Because, okay. No, I've never lost of laughing. Okay, so Sharon, would you like to say your goodbyes until next week then?
Okay, good night, everyone. Thanks for visiting.
And Rez, how about you?
Thank you so much, everybody in the chat room. We love you to pieces. Come see us on psychicaccess.com and love them like you mean it.
I love it when you say that. Mm. And I know that you mean it. And Nancy?
Good night, everyone, and thanks again for having me this week. I really, really enjoyed it. It was fun.
And we will definitely would love to have you back as a guest co-host with us anytime. I know.
Wonderful, thank you.
I could speak for everybody. And Rez, you know, you as well, you know, well, you know what your thing is. and I say, bless your hearts, and look, maybe I don't have this, but you best be checking yourself before you wreck yourself. No, you know, I bless everybody's heart, and thank you so much for participating in this show, because it was a great passion of mine to do the show, and with all the, it's a little bit, it's not political, but it's very important that we, you know, do attend to what we need to, and do whatever we can. And so on Facebook, I'm going to get as much link from Ilona about what she said, there's a petition, or there's something we can all sign. I'm going to do that, and
that's
make sure that's
a good idea.
Yes, and also anything else I'll put up on Facebook. And I guess everything can be put up. More pictures of me will be put up. Anyway, and all of us, and our executive producer. But anyway, so that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you, everybody, and have a lovely week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.